If you would, to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to look at verses 1 through 14, and there's a question that is asked in these verses, and as we will see, God answers it in his own way, but I think it's a question that we might even can identify with ourselves today. So Ezekiel chapter 37. That's over there in your Old Testament there. You'll find it. If you find the book of Daniel, just go backwards a little bit more, and you'll get to Ezekiel chapter 37. Everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say, if you ain't there, say, oh me. Amen. So we're at Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, the Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And it caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then saith he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceedingly great army. And he saith unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We're cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you and ye shall live and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Every now and then somebody will ask me the question, and you might have been asked it before, can revival come again? Can revival come to our nation? Can it come into our lives? Can it come into our church? Can it come in the day that we live today? You see, people ask, can revival come? There are some people who think that God has done his best work in days of old, that the churches of the early New Testament had revival, but now we're just to basically left here to hang on. And I wonder, is that all that we're supposed to do? Really, when you think about it, are we just to go through the motions or just hang on until Christ comes? Or can he bring revival again into our lives and into his church? You see, I believe he can. You see, Ezekiel here, when you study the book of Ezekiel, you got to understand that God not only asked the questions in the sense, can these bones live? But he answered, he said, yeah, they are going to live. Especially when God does his part with them. You see, Ezekiel was a prophet to the children of Israel. The nation had been carried off into captivity. They had
sinned and rebelled against God, so God allowed them to be carried out of their land. Times are very desperate for them. Ezekiel is living by a little river named Chebar there. He has been prophesying out of the land of Israel in this faraway land for about 22 years. Now you think about that. They were out of their natural setting. They were away from the temple. They were away from all the rituals that they were used to, their land, their people, the way that they were doing that. All that had been left behind. And now they're in this foreign, strange land, and they're very discouraged. And God allowed the prophet of Ezekiel to write and speak into the children of Israel for two reasons. He wanted them to be reminded of what brought them there. It was their sin and rebellion against God. And Ezekiel, in his book, he lays out their sin and their rebellion. But he also wanted Ezekiel to write and prophesy to the children of Israel that there would be a restoration time. In other words, God would bring a revival to the nation of Israel. God would restore them once again to the place where God wanted them to be. And so God gives him these visions and these prophecies. And we fall upon one here in chapter 37. And we're going to see, can these bones live? Now, there are some visions, some dreams, some prophecies in the Old Testament that I would have liked to have seen. This is one of them. I would have liked to have been Ezekiel and got to see what was fixing to happen in this prophecy and in this vision here. He's going to see some bones come alive. Let me just slow down and ask you, can God bring revival in your life? I reckon that's where it starts in my life. I got to be honest with God. Can God bring a revival in my life? Do I need a revival? Let me ask you, do you need a revival? Or are you so spiritually up there with God that you say, Brother Terry, I could just go on and leave now because this isn't for me? Or can you say like me, we need revival? What about our church here? Does our church really need a revival? I think all we have to do is look around at some of the empty pews. And that is a declaration that we too need revival. Can these bones live? Can God bring revival today like He did back then? Do we want revival today like they experienced back there? Let's go through this story real quickly. And I got three or four things I want to point out to you as we answer the question, can these bones live? First, we see the revelation that takes place in verses 1 and 2 there. We see the placing of the prophet. It says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, speaking about Ezekiel, the prophet of God. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. You see, notice that God has placed Ezekiel exactly where He wanted him to be in his life right now. I thought about this. Every true revival usually starts with one individual. The days of the Old Testament, Moses was that man. You move on through the scriptures, you see God used the judges. God's raised up a king or kings to lead the children of Israel. You go on through there, then God raised up prophets to speak to them, to bring them back to God. Then you think about the apostles in the New Testament. You think about the pastors and the preachers and the missionaries. You see, in every great revival movement, it just didn't start instantly with a bunch of people. No, usually one individual said, listen, I want to be right with God. I want God to bring revival in my life. And as God brought revival in that life, it began to spread out. You see, God had a man, Ezekiel, and He was going to use him to prophesy and bring revival to the children of Israel. Ezekiel was the man for the moment. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon him, and the Spirit of the Lord carried him. I mean, God put him together in the place where he was at so that revival could come. God's providence was working in his life to bring about revival. Maybe that's God's plan for your life. You ever thought about that? Here's a really tough question we have to answer. Am I the reason that revival is not coming? Am I the reason that revival isn't happening in my church? maybe if I got revived, then others around me would get revived. Maybe God's brought you here to this place, to this church, to this time, and this age. Maybe God wants to start with you or you or you or me today and say, listen, it can happen. I want to use somebody. He used the man Ezekiel back then, and maybe God wants to use one of us today. So we see the placement here of the prophet Ezekiel. But notice in verse 1 and 2 also, we see the reckoning. Notice the trip that takes place. He takes him to the Valley of Bones. Now just picture skeletons everywhere. I took somebody to an office, a doctor's office one time, and as I was sitting there, they were being tended to, and in this place was a skeleton. I mean, that's something you just don't get to see every day. And I thought it was kind of neat. I examined this thing. I looked at the skull, the ribs. I looked at all the bones. Now, if one of them or something would have moved, I'd have had a problem with it. But can you imagine? Here is Ezekiel. He is in this valley of bones. And notice what he is called to do. It says there, and he caused me, in verse 2, to pass by them round about. You know what God told him to do? He said, I want you to circle this valley of dry bones. I want you to walk all the way around these bones. I thought, why did he tell him to do that? Why couldn't he just look at them from a distance and look over and say, I see them? No, God wanted him to get in there close. God wanted him to go around them. He wanted him to see them and examine them and look at them. He wanted Ezekiel to see those valleys of dry bones just as God saw them. We will never have revival until we see ourselves as God sees us. This church will never have revival until we as a church see ourselves as God sees this church. He said, Ezekiel, get there, look, see what it really looks like. See how I'm seeing them. It doesn't matter how I might think they look. He said, I want you to have my vision. I want you to walk all around them there. Notice what he saw. He says, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. There again, after closer examination, after walking all around this valley of skeletons, he noticed two things. He said, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of bones laying out there on the ground. And not only are there a lot of them, but he says, they're very dry. Now, what does that mean? He says, they've been there for some time. If you've ever been out in the woods, I know I used to hunt a lot, and every now and then I'd come upon a skeleton, and you could tell if it was something that freshly had died or if those bones had been laying there for some time because they begin to bleach out. And here he noticed, he says, they're there and they're very dry. They've been there for a while. You got to understand, when Ezekiel is writing this, the nation of Israel had been in captivity for a number of years. They would be there for 70 years. You see, these bones here represent the nation of Israel. And what Ezekiel is seeing by these dry bones, he's saying, listen, the nation of Israel, they've been like this for a long time. They've been without God, outside of His place, outside of His will. Living for self, and he said, basically, they're just like a bunch of dead, dry bones out in this valley, and they need God's help. You see, before I'll ever realize I need revival, I need to see myself as God sees me. You ever sometimes feel like you're just drying up on the vine? You know, if you've ever been spiritual, you know what it feels like to be unspiritual. If you've ever been close to God, you know how it feels to step away from God. But the nation of Israel had been away from God for about 70 years. And Ezekiel saw them as God saw them. They needed revival. They were in captivity, out of the will of God. Notice it says they're very dry bones. What did these bones symbolize outside of the nation of Israel? It tells us about their condition. Where there is bones, there's death. That's pretty simple. If you see a bone laying on the ground, you know that something has died to make it be there. You see, bones are equal with death. These dry bones represented the nation of Israel in their spiritual deadness. You see, they may have thought that they looked alive, but to God's eyes, they were dead. You remember the church in Sardis over in the book of Revelation? It made this statement, "Thou hast a name that thou livest, but are dead." You see, there are a lot of churches that look like they're alive today. They're doing a lot of things, but God looks down from heaven and says, "You know, you're like these dry bones. You're dead. You need revival." There again, when you look at these dry bones in verse 2, you also think about destruction. How did they get dead? That's the thought that comes to my mind. Something must have killed them. Defeat, broken lives, broken family, broken nations. You see, they had turned their back on God. And they had suffered defeat. Anytime a nation or a people or a church or an individual turns their back on God, there's nothing but defeat out there. There's nothing but disappointment. There's nothing but death coming your way. And they were defiled. You see, the children of Israel, when they saw a bone, they couldn't touch it. They would defile themselves by touching bones. When Ezekiel looked at this big old valley of bones, he thought of death, he thought of destruction, he thought of defilement there. It represented everything that Israel was outside of God's will. Everything they were there in captivity, not where God wanted them to be. And God looks at our lives and He looks at us and we may think we're all right. And God says, "Listen, you're nothing but dry bones. And can these dry bones live again?" Man, I think about the country we're living in. Wow. I think about our society. You know, we may think we're all right, but God looks down and He says, "You're just a valley of dry bones." You see, these dry bones represented defilement. We're living in a nation to where morality is dead in America. We may think we're okay with God. We may think our ways of living in life is okay. But when you look at the things that go on in this country, you look at teenagers who deliver babies and put them in garbage cans. You take and you look at doctors who murder babies and cause it an alternate way of life or something to get out of life. I mean, you look all across our society, they want to kill the sick and the old. I mean, you think about the morality in our country. Then you step aside and look at all the sexual sins today that nobody wants to talk about, but we looked at in a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Homosexuality, I mean, it's the norm today, and if you're norm, you're wrong. I mean, that's where we're at today. You got Planned Parenthood who's teaching our children in school how to make choices in life. Wow, what a mess we're in. Our public school provides clinics to correct mistakes, as they call it. You turn on the television, you listen to the radio, you look at your computer, and there is nothing but filth being broadcast today. Listen, does this country not need revival? Morality is gone. God looks down at our nation that we live in, that we call a Christian godly nation, and He sees dry bones. He sees defilement there. Morality is gone in our nation. Modesty is gone in our nation. Ever since God clothed Adam and Eve in the garden, man has been trying to take those clothes off. I mean, it's a shame what people will run around in nowadays. What they will dress. I put down cross-dressing, confusing the genders, conforming to worldly fashion. Why is it that the church and church members has to let the world, the lost world, the ungodly world, set the fashion and the standards by which we dress ourselves to come to church? Don't make a bit of sense to me. You see, modesty is gone in this country. Morality is gone. When you think about it, wow, our churches... So many of our churches are dead in America today. Let me sum up what churches normally are nowadays. Worship centers, one-hour worship centers, society gathering places, or entertainment stations. That's what churches become. That's where we're at today. We're living in a time to where church members sleep through church while the pastor puts them to sleep in church. Because he's not preaching the Word of God. Folks, another church just closed down in California. They're closing the doors. Once God-fearing churches are closing the door daily here in this country. Our churches need revival. Let me bring it home to Hillside Baptist Church needs a revival. When you look at our society, when you look at the morality, when you look at all the indecent way people act and dress and carry out, when you look at our churches, when you look at our homes and our families that are falling apart today, when you look and see that people are living together now with the benefit of being married and calling it okay, when you see where children are telling parents what to do or parents are too busy to tell children what they ought to do, we're living in a day when we need revival, don't we not? And that is where we're at right now. You see, Israel for 70 years, they were in captivity away from God, and God said, Ezekiel, I'm going to send you there because they need a revival. Look at these bones. That represents the nation of Israel, the whole house of Israel, and that's how I see them laying there needing life again. God looks at our country here. He looks at our churches. He looks at our families. He looks at us Christians, and he says, you know what? Y'all need revival. How does it come? The question that he asked, he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? You see, Ezekiel was smarter than me because I just said, ain't going to happen, God. They're dead. I mean, look at them. They've been laying out in this valley for so long, they done dried out. There's no hope for these bones. There's nothing going to happen that will ever make them usable again. But I like what God does there, or what Ezekiel does in verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, I answer, O Lord God, thou knowest. You see, what I don't know, God knows. Ezekiel probably thought this is an impossibility. He even might have thought that for the nation of Israel, it was over. They had no hope. It didn't seem like they had any help coming. But listen, God knows. And there again, he gives him the message there in verse 4. The remedy, how to resurrect the dry bones. Now, here's how revival happens. There are steps that takes place in bringing revival. Just as there were steps that took place and these bones are living again. The first thing we see is a message from God. It says, and again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones. Here's the first one. Hear the word of the Lord. That's the only way revival will ever start. It comes from the word of God. The ideas and intentions of man will never do it. But when somebody preaches or teaches or reads the Word of God, revival can come. I guarantee it. You see, this book will point out our sin. It'll show us where we've went wrong from God. This holy Word of God will point out God's standards. He says, be ye holy, for I'm holy. This word of God will bring fear that will bring faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God. You see, it is the word of God. He says, listen, tell them to hear the word of God. It will comfort them. It will convict them. It will change them. It will convert them. That's what the word of God will do. Josiah, a young prince, a young king of Israel, found the word of God lost in the house of God. They were cleaning up God's temple, and they found the book of the law. They found the word of God had been lost, and he read it, and it convicted him. It convicted the nation, and they came to revival. Wow, that's what we need. You see, if you are going to be revived, or if I'm going to be revived, it starts right here. You cannot have revival outside I challenge you every year for the last 20 years to read your book through. 3 chapters a day. 15 minutes out of all the minutes of your day. Why do I do that? Because I know what the Word of God can do. It can bring revival. He said, if these bones are going to live, if Israel is going to be revived and restored, it starts off in verse 4, hearing the word of God. But notice, not only hearing the word of God, a message from God, but it also going to take the moving of God. Notice verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Notice what he said there. He said, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. You see, revival cannot be manufactured. It's got to be a moving of God in our lives and in his church. This church cannot produce revival by itself. We can put in every program we want into place, but listen, unless God moves in this church, unless God moves in my heart and your heart, there isn't going to be revival. It takes the moving of God. God is the cause of man's revival. God is the cause of our salvation. God is the cause of us being separated to him. God is the cause of us surrendering our life. Take God out of the picture, and there is no hope for mankind. Not only in salvation, you take God out of the picture, but there is no hope in revival without God. He says, tell them to hear from me. Listen, it'll take the word of God, but also, listen, I will make them. I will breathe into them that breath that will cause them to live again. Maybe you need to stop trying to be so spiritual and let God begin to move in your life to make you spiritual. Maybe God's the one we need to surrender to. I've learned in my own ministry and life, I'm my biggest problem. You know you're your biggest problem also. And you know what God wants us to do? He just wants us to get out of the way. He said, Ezekiel, it's impossible. You don't see any hope here. But when my word touches their hearts and I begin to move in their life, something's going to take place. And he shows us that miracle that comes from God in verses 5 and 6. He says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Notice at the end of verse 6, it says, ye shall live. You go down to verse 9, and it says, they may live. You go down to verse 10, it says, and they lived. You go down to verse 14, it says, and ye shall live. It seems like there's something God wants these bones to do, is it not? And that's for them to live. God wants them to be everything that they once were and even more than that. God don't want us just floating through life. He wants to give you the abundant life. He wants to use your life. He wants you to live. Live in the fullness of his blessings, his power and his work. Why? That you might be revived, that this church might be revived, that this city might be revived, and even this country we live in can be revived. Can God bring revival? You see, only God can bring the dead back to life. You really think about that. He's the only one that can give life. He is the only one that can resurrect and revive. But God can. You see, that's the miracle of God's mighty working. He's the only one that can take a messed up life and make it better. He's the only one that can take a messed up family and put it back together. He's the only one that can take a messed up nation and bring it back together. But God can. You see, when a person or a church or a people are willing to hear the word of God and let God move in their lives and be willing to let that miracle work in their life, there is no person too hard that God cannot reach. There is no prayer too strong that he cannot answer. There is no person who cannot be revived. Amen. You see, so here's Ezekiel. He's watching. He's did what God's asked him to do. He did his part. Got to give it to him. He did his part, and then he stepped back and says, oh, that's all I can do. Now God is up to you. And God said, okay, Ezekiel, you have prophesied it to him. But now I'm going to breathe this breath of air into them, and then I want to see you. I want to show you the results that took place in verse 7. Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Always good to do what God asked you to do. And I prophesied, there was a noise. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. Can you imagine? You're looking out over this valley of nothing but skeleton bones, and you hear something. And then there becomes this shaking. And then you notice the bones start going, sticking together. The bone came to bone. In other words, they went to their parts. Wow, I'd have been gone. I'd have been out of there. That would have been, I'd have never had the rest of this prophecy to prophesy. I'd have been saying, God, that's it. You'll have to conclude the story. But he watched, and he saw these bones begin to shake and rattle, and they begin to stick together. And then he looked, muscles. I don't know where the muscle and the sinew come from, but it sucked itself on them. And then it was wrapped around in flesh and skin. And then you got these dead bodies laying where all these dead bones were. But God said, that isn't good enough. God doesn't want to take you just part of the way. God wants to take you all the way to revival. And he said, listen, stand back. I'm going to call on the wind to breathe upon these bones, and they're going to live. And wow, did they live. Verse 10 says the results were that they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. There was a regathering. There was a returning. There was a restoration revival. Can these bones live? Wow, what a story. Seemed like an impossibility. But can God do the impossible in my life? Can he do it in your life? Can he make the bones live that have been dead for so long? Can he bring back from the dryness? Can he restore that which was broken? Let me just ask you some simple questions and be honest. Do we believe God can fill every pew in this building? Do we really believe that? Do we believe that God can do in our lives everything he wants to do with it? I mean, not just get through life, not just hang around until he comes back. But can he show up in our life and then show out in that life so that it affects everybody around us? I mean, my question is, if God can do all that, why don't we let him? What is holding us back as individuals? What is keeping our dry bones there in the valley of destruction and defeat? What's keeping the dry bones of our church from reaching our neighborhood and going beyond the borders of this neighborhood to all parts of the world? I mean, what is keeping the dry bones of Hillside Baptist Church in the valley? What is it that God wants us to do? He wants us to hear his word. He wants us to allow him to move in our lives and our church. And then he wants to do the miraculous or the impossibility and revive us. Do you need that this morning? Maybe you're hearing you say, Brother Terry, that's me. Can these bones live? Can these dry bones really live? Pastor, can God help my life, help my situation, help my family? Can he help me in my job? Can he help me with my children or my parents? Can God help me in my church? Can God bring revival? You see, you will answer that question by what you allow God to do with your life. And we as a group will answer that question with what we do as a church. But I guarantee you, God wants revival. Bow your heads, gentlemen.